In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to say a few simple things, unworthy words about my patron, Seraphim, whom we remember today. Really, his life was a very full one, and we have quite a bit of information about his life, quite a lot of biographical information. There are always things about him that have really touched me. I think the most important thing for me, now this is personal, so everybody has different things that really touch them in the scriptures or in lives of the saints, but he is a priest and I'm a priest, and therefore he encountered people constantly that were in need, good ones and bad ones in need, people who were trying hard and people who weren't trying hard, people who believed and people who didn't. People who went to the church with faith and people who went to the church with superstition, and every other kind of person there is. He and I encountered a lot of similar people. And the thing that always touches me about him is his profound humility in how he approached everyone and his profound love. Of course, he called people your godliness. And he would always say Christ is risen to everyone because he was literally in the moment of the resurrection of Christ all of his life. Or really, that's not correct. He was in the moment of the resurrection after really quite a bit of struggle. So that's what always has amazed me about him. How he was gentle and kind and welcoming and happy with others, even though he saw their pain, even though some of them did good and some of them didn't do so good. Even though some of them listened to him and some of them didn't. Because of his struggles previous to this, he could be this way with others. Remember, he was 1,000 days on a night and nights on a stone praying, O God, enlighten my darkness. That's not easy. And that's also not something where he was smiling every moment he was doing it. It was hard for him. He once said about demons that they are foul, which means he saw demons, which means he knew they're evil. Now, I know a little something about evil, but not anything close to what he knows. And sometimes it just bowls me over. It just makes it's hard to deal with. But he encountered everyone, calling them your godliness, and he always was comforting to people and was full of the Holy Spirit and lived in the resurrection. Those are things that I aspire to do. When I was baptized, this is a long time ago now, this would be 1980, in ice cold water. I was baptized, and now Father David Mosier, at the time David, says to me, okay, you have, we were kind of irreverent in some ways. We were young and foolish. And so he said, now you have a year to glow in the dark. Well, I have not, I'm very late on that. I don't glow in the dark. I don't pray in the air. I can't be outside in the middle of winter praying and be warm. I can't always be every moment in the resurrection as my patron was. He's really an inspiring saint. There's other things about him that are very impressive too. He had special insight that the Lord gave him, and a special relationship with the Mother of God because of his purity. And yet, he was obedient. He wasn't full of himself. He was first a deacon, under obedience, and then a hieromonk under obedience. And he asked to be able to go out in the woods and be by himself, and he was granted that. And then at some point in time, I think he came back to the monastery, I think because of his illnesses, was a recluse in the monastery where nobody saw him. And then he was told he had to open his doors. And he did. He did what he was told with joy. And so instead of praying alone, noetically, without anybody to bother him, without any rabble, and complications of people. To kind of paraphrase Thoreau, I would say that it's the concept of dealing with people's problems is a good one. But then when you really start to deal with them, it gets really messy. That's really a poor paraphrasement. What did he say? I think he said the concept of people is good, but people ruin it for me. And really, St. Seraphim wanted to pray alone, wanted to pray before the Mother of God and see the angels and the saints. But there was a constant parade of people, sometimes by the hundreds a day, that would come to see him. And yet everyone he greeted with, "Your godliness and Christ is risen," and he would make a prostration before them. He had another custom in which he took wine and proshera, and I actually have some bread that's called St. Seraphim's bread that I got from Novodevichy. They cook it in the same pot that he used, a cast iron pot. And he would take this bread and he would dissolve it in the wine, you know, put it in the wine and make it soft, and he would give it to the people. Well, the people were simple, many of them, and they thought he was giving them communion. And so the authorities found out about this and understood that it was not really a good thing. And they said, "Father Seraphim, you got to stop doing that." And he did immediately. This is a man with insight. This is a man who sees angels. He knows a whole lot more than some dumb bishop who just signs papers, right? Well, what did he do? He just obeyed. That's impressive to me. Because when people reach high spiritual heights, some of the greatest dangers are pride, thinking that you know better than other people. Well, you do know better than other people when you're high in the spiritual life. But somehow, the people who know better also are humble enough to follow the people that don't know better. I find that pretty impressive. I find his strictness with himself impressive and his lenience with others. And that's a principle that I've tried to apply to myself more and more every year, to be more strict with myself and lenient with others. In some ways, I guess there would be some people that would even term me liberal in how I allow people to come to communion or things like that. Because over the years, I've tried to emulate my patron. Now, I'm not nearly very strict with myself, but I'm trying to learn. His non-judgmentalness is just awe-inspiring. The people he encountered, the troubles he encountered, and to smile every time, to say, "Your godliness," to make a prostration, to say, "Christ is risen." It's pretty impressive. So the gospel and the epistle that we read today describe him fully. That's why they're used. They're used for venerable saints, is the term that the church uses. And of course he had all those things. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness, meekness and temperance. But he had those things because of his effort and his faith and his purity. Those things together. Now, maybe some of us have a lot of effort, but we don't have so much purity, so we won't reach his heights. Maybe some of us maybe are not so encumbered with sins of impurity, whether they be in the way we act towards others or slander or whether they be sexual problems. Maybe we don't have those problems, but we don't have that much effort, so we won't reach his heights. Perhaps we make a lot of effort and say a lot of prayers, and we don't have so much problem with purity or impurity, but we're not very humble. We judge others. We think poorly of others. We think more highly of ourselves. We can't reach his heights. I think you need the purity, and you need humility, and you need effort. He didn't give himself any quarter when he was living as an ascetic and a recluse. And then, when he had ripened, so that he was a beautiful, succulent fruit, bearing the Holy Spirit, such that he even glowed with light sometimes when he prayed, then God brought him forth to people so that people could benefit from His holiness. Pretty impressive. So we can't be like Him because we don't have those three things. Maybe a little one, a little bit of one, and a little bit of another, and not so much of the last. But we can certainly struggle to emulate Him. And I would say that we got to try hard. You got to try hard. But you got to try hard in context. You got to try too hard in the context of the church. He didn't run off and do anything by himself. He did everything with a blessing. Now, he did stuff that nobody else could do. But he did with a blessing. And when he was told to do something different, he did something different. So we should, within the context of the church, struggle and fast and pray and struggle to pray for others. But do it within the context of the church. I remember one person once asked me, he wanted to fast on a Monday for starting Monday and also Wednesday and Friday, but fast Monday because the monastics fast on Monday for the angels. And I said, no. You don't even go to church all the time. Okay? You gotta do things in context. If he had fasted on Monday, it would have destroyed him. Fortunately, I think he obeyed me, so he didn't fast on Monday. I don't know if he didn't go to church that much more, but at least he obeyed me in that thing. Saint Seraphim is a great saint. I'm humbled to have his name. Kind of came about his name, really, to be honest with you, because I wasn't advised about anything when I was catechized. My catechism is pretty amazing. I think I knew more than the catechizer, because he didn't know nothing. In fact, one priest who shall go nameless, he was at Purdue University, and when he knew that I wanted to become Orthodox, but I wasn't yet baptized, he says, well, you can have communion now because, you know, you want to be Orthodox, so that's good enough. And I thought that was rather odd. And at the time I was engaged, and I'm just a practical person, so I literally asked him this. I said, if I'm going to wait to have sexual relations with my wife, even though I love her and I'm engaged to her, wouldn't I also wait to have the Holy Mysteries, since I'm not yet in the church? So I didn't have the Holy Mysteries until, of course, I was baptized. And I was taught nothing. I don't know why I'm telling you these things, but they're kind of funny. Nobody told me anything about fasting. And I didn't have access to good materials about fasting yet. So somehow I thought fasting was, you know, for meat. And I think cheese. And so I lived in the dorms, and they had two things in the, every time, for every meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, they had sort of a salad bar. Not anything like it is nowadays, but there was two things in it that I ate by the hundreds. They had hard-boiled eggs, and they had peach halves, you know, like the ones that are yellow cling peaches in the heavy syrup. And so we would what we called slurp peaches. And I could eat 30 peaches in a meal for lunch and 30 for dinner and probably a dozen eggs at each meal. And that was what I lived on, eggs and peaches. I didn't know that you weren't supposed to eat eggs. I ate a lot of eggs. They made it easy for us because I think they were already peeled. That was awesome, you know, save time. I didn't slurp eggs. That's a little hard to do. But you can slurp a peach. You really can. But I wasn't taught anything. And so I have, my given name is Timothy, which means honor of God. What I advise people now, if they have the name of a saint, to keep that name. Because, you know, my driver's license says Timothy. I'm Father Timothy in the prison because the driver's license has to match my name or else they look at me like I'm a terrorist. So, you know, it's kind of just weird having a secular name and a Christian name. And I would I guess it'd be better if I'd been given the advice to keep the name Timothy. That's why my first son was named Timothy, because I thought I kind of wanted to apologize to the saint and take his name back. But I was just read about St. Seraphim, read the life of Maltavilov, or not the life, but the talk with Maltavilov, which is an amazing thing. And I just wanted to take his name, so I did. And I've always felt under his protection from that time. And he's protected me from many, many things. I'm sure the vast majority of them I know nothing whatsoever about. So let's emulate St. Seraphim. You're not going to glow in the dark. You're not going to pray a hands width, an arms width above the ground. You're probably not going to get to the point where you're in the resurrection every moment of your life, which is what we're born for that. But I think for most of us, that will be in the next life, that we're always in the resurrection. But we can emulate his effort when he was in private, his strictness with himself, and his lenience with others, and his love for others, his serving heart, his humility, and the fact that he always was a son of the church. I'll leave you with one thing about him. Of course, he was very lenient with others. That doesn't mean he was a pushover. That doesn't mean that he didn't speak the truth, because he always did. So one mother came to him asking about, a good mate for her daughter, good husband, about a certain man. And he asked her, does he fast? And if he added, if he doesn't fast, no matter what else he does, he's not a Christian. And don't marry him. So he could also be strict. So through the prayers of our Holy Father Seraphim, O Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen.